Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the Court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello
and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please, press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Organization. That is Provocative Thought PT Community Organization, excuse me. Tonight's topic, foods that fail us. Should we be alarmed about some of the food we eat? Does some food actually harm us? Biggest the U.S. food retail industry. We got a lot of folks in the U.S., right? A lot of mouths to feed. A lot of greedy people. In the United States, the retail and food service sales amounted to $6.2 trillion U.S. dollars in 2019. All right? Increasing for the 10th successive year. This thing been just, we eat more and more food, y'all. I don't know if that's because of population growth, because I'm hearing certain populations aren't growing in this country. The total number of supermarkets in the U.S. has remained around 38,000 for several years. What's that all about? Increased eating, same amount of supermarkets. Supermarket food sales hit an estimate $447 billion U.S. dollars in 2018, which accounted for nearly 60% of the U.S. retail grocery market. As of January 2020, national chain Walmart operated 4,756 stores, and its U.S. segment generated net sales of $341 billion U.S. dollars. Now, that's a lot of money. For those who think this is not a serious problem, from the Physicians Committee on Health and Nutrition News, right? Diet-related diseases are leading cause of death in the U.S. Let's say that again. Diet-related diseases are leading cause of death in U.S. I know I was trying to get away from this whole thing of this morbid stuff, but it seems like we're just surrounded by morbidity. Anyway, here we go. And excuse me. Diseases linked to unhealthful diet and lifestyle, right? Choices such as diabetes, cancer, are the leading causes of death in the United States, according to data published in JAMA, right? Researchers compared mortality for hundreds of causes and risk factors and found that heart disease, lung cancer, high BMI, and high blood pressure, and blood sugar were all among the top risk factors for mortality or death. Y'all hear that? Dietary risk factors surpass tobacco, which is a known toxin. Right? We're talking about food. Dietary risk factors surpass tobacco use, leading cause of death. You know, tobacco, you know, that's one of the leading causes, the preventable causes of death, right? Anyway, the authors noted differences in risk factors at the state level and recommended targeted approaches to address these issues for disease prevention. Targeted approaches to address these issues for disease prevention. Wouldn't that mean that they would have to switch from using these chemicals, atrazine, or what do you call it, GMO, and all these Roundup and all these crazy things that they put in the food? If you're gonna attack some of this stuff, some of the sugars and the fats and the salts, you know, they would have to really be conscious about that kind of stuff. Anyway. NPR, National Public Radio, said about 11 million deaths a year are linked to poor diet around the globe. 11 million deaths a year, linked to poor diet globally around the whole world. As a planet, we don't eat enough healthy foods, including whole grains, nuts, seeds, fruits, and vegetables. All right? At the same time, they say we consume too many sugary drinks. I know as a kid, that's a soda, man. 16-ounce soda, that's all yours if your homies ain't around, your siblings ain't around, or they got their own. That's 16 ounces, that's all yours as a kid. You had the canned sodas. They came out with these liters, like, and cheap. They got the cheap ones, and they got the name brand ones cost a little more. But the sugary drinks, too much salt, potato chips. Man, come on now. Man, I know I'm guilty of eating a whole large bag of potato chips. And I'm not talking about a 50-cent bag. And too much processed meat. And how many of us like those fat hoagies you get? I don't know if they sell hoagies all over the United States, but I'm sure they sell lunch meat in most places. And Philadelphia is known for hoagies. And, you know, they have certain places that pack the meat on a hoagie, make you come back. Anyway, I don't eat meat, but I still remember it. Anyway, with all this killing going on, I thought I'd find something else to talk about, food. What harm could there be in that, right? You know, I'm going to talk about food today, you know. And to my displeasure, my short research project has shown me that some of the things we call food place us at as high a risk as some of the violence in some communities. Excuse me. The food industry facilitates so much death and disease. I wonder why the prisons aren't filled with their pushers, distributors, kingpins, and cartel members. You know, how come jail's not full with these guys? I'm trying to figure this out. The food's so bad for you that it kills, causes death. Yeah, I'm trying. Somebody help me out. Got to do drugs. Bad for you, cause death, an addiction to foods. Bad for you. They create an addiction. They cause a death. I don't know. It seems the same scenario to me, only with food. I don't know. It just seems like some people are allowed to kill and other people aren't. And I'm not saying that we should allow people to kill. I'm saying that we need to put a muzzle on all these things that kill us and just try to do something that promotes life on all levels, not just in the hood. This is stuff that comes to the suburbs and even some of you rich folks. I know wealthy people probably drink sodas too. Eat candy, potato chips, and stuff like that, I'm sure. Anyway, Healthline. 10 leading causes of deaths in America. Heart disease, cancer, accidents, chronic lower respiratory disease, stroke, Alzheimer's disease, diabetes. And I see, like, speaking of diabetes, like, I think in my neighborhood, my community, I see a lot of, stores, corner stores, bars, and then I see these dialysis places, you know, a lot of them. Kidney disease and suicide, those are the 10 leading causes in America. Of course, I had to say this, what I'm about to say. Homicide is not in the top 10 for Americans. But homicide is the leading cause of death for black men up to age 44. And under the in America, it's the fourth leading cause of death for black males for all ages. So it's the leading cause of death for males 44 and under, and it's the fourth leading cause of death for all black males. The Gainesville Sun says, also ranked number one for African-American males, is heart disease for ages 45 to 64 and cancer for ages 65 and older, including prostate, lung, and colon cancers. The leading cause of death for African-American males, according to the Center for Disease and Control Prevention, leading cause of the 2017 report are heart disease, cancer, unintentional injuries, accidents, homicide, stroke, diabetes, chronic lower respiratory disease, kidney disease, septicemia. I meant to look that up because I don't really know what that is, but I hope that's not when you get hurt and you get infection. Sounds like it. And hypertension. But a lot of those things you can relate right to the diet. Cancer, heart disease, stroke, diabetes, kidney disease, hypertension. You can relate all those things, you know, right to your diet. Maybe some of that other stuff, but I know those things right there are diet related, can be diet related. So it seems as if the bullets don't get you, the food will. I bought some White Castle black bean sliders. I don't know if you know about White Castle. That's a little place off the highway, they sell this. Well, we used to see it off the highway when we was traveling down south. And sell these little hand-like burgers that fit the palm of your hand, little teeny burgers. And it's when I was a kid, but they still sell it. Anyway, I bought these black bean sliders. I said, that's good. That's got to be healthy. White Castle got something that's healthy. Right? So I was reading on the box, I'm checking it out. And I was surprised to see a warning on the side of the box. And I said, what kind of warning could be on the side of a black bean burger? That's not meat. Black bean got to be healthy. And the warning, it has a warning, says consuming this product can expose you to acrylamide, 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 which is known to California, they say, to cause cancer and birth defects or other reproductive harm. But I thought that was strange that they say it's known to California, because if it's science, why is it only known to California? That sounds very strange to me. Anyway, if you want to see more about that, go to www.p65aringes.c/food, FOOD, if you want to check that out. So, in the trash it went. And here's what I found out, because that led me to just do some looking. The U.S. Food, from the U.S. Food and Drug, right? Oh, they say that acrylamide, right, is a substance that forms through the natural chemical reaction between sugars and asparagine, an amino acid in plant-based food, including potato and cereal grain-based foods. Acrylamide forms during high-temperature cooking, such as frying, roasting, and baking. In research studies, high levels of acrylamide cause cancer in laboratory animals, but the levels of acrylamide used in these studies were much greater than those found in human food. The FDA monitors levels of this contaminant in certain foods because of its potential to affect human health. Although it's not exactly clear what risk acrylamide poses to humans, the FDA has recommendations for both consumers and industry about how to reduce acrylamide formation in foods. In 2016, the FDA developed a guidance for industry that outlines strategies to help growers, manufacturers, and food service operators reduce acrylamide in the food supply. But apparently it's a reaction to heat. And some customers, and for some consumers, the FDA has developed resources that contain information about acrylamide and ways to reduce exposure from foods prepared at home. See the more information. They had a more information section, but I cut that off. Sorry. From the National Cancer Institute, what is acrylamide? Acrylamide is a chemical used primarily to make substances called polyacrylamide and acrylamide copolymers. Polyacrylamide and acrylamide copolymers are used in many industrial processes, such as the production of paper, dyes, and plastic, and in the treatment of drinking water and wastewater, including sewage. They are also found in consumer products such as caulking. Caulking, y'all know what that is. Caulking fill cracks with that. It's usually white. Food packaging and some adhesives. Acrylamide is also found in some foods. It can be produced when vegetables that contain the amino acid asparagine, such as potatoes, are heated to high temperatures in the presence of certain sugars. It is also a component of tobacco smoke. That just makes me think, what the hell is going on? How are people exposed to acrylamide? Food and cigarette smoke are the major sources of acrylamide exposure, right? The major food sources of acrylamide are French fries and potato chips, crackers, bread, cookies, breakfast cereals, canned black olives, prune juice, and coffee. I think that covers just about most things that a lot of people eat. You may not eat one or two of these things, but at least one. Most people have the habit to eat breakfast cereals. A lot of folks drink coffee, prune juice. If you're a little older, you might be on that. Potato chips at every party. Well, some of the parties I've been to anyway. Not the dinner party. So, but, you know, bread. Everybody likes bread, crackers, cookies. Anyway, I ain't going to talk about the, you know, so. It said acrylamide levels in food vary widely depending on the manufacturer, cooking time and the method and temperature of the cooking process. Decreasing cooking time would avoid heavy crisping or browning, blanching potatoes before frying, or not storing potatoes in a refrigerator, and post-drying in a hot air oven after frying have been shown to decrease the acrylamide content of some foods. So people are exposed to more acrylamide from tobacco smoke than from food. People who smoke have 3 to 5 times higher levels of acrylamide exposure. So secondhand smoke. So I would say people who smoke and people who are exposed to people who smoke. Because we know secondhand smoke is as bad as smoking a cigarette. Anyway, there's an association between acrylamide and cancer. Studies in rodent models found that acrylamide exposure increased the risk of several types of cancer. In the body, acrylamide is converted to a compound called glycidamide. GlyCidamide, which causes mutations in and damage to the D-lysidamide, which causes mutations in and damage to the DNA. That's some serious stuff. That's how little we know about food and how to prepare food and things like that. You know, it's causing us our lives, our health. However, a large number of epidemiologic studies in humans have found no consistent evidence that dietary acrylamide exposure is associated with the risk of any type of cancer. I had to say that. One reason for the inconsistent findings from human studies may be the difficulty in determining a person's acrylamide intake based on their reported diet. I don't know what they're trying to say, but I'm with the have that warning on the box, and I'm even more with not producing this substance through any kind of preparation for any food that you sell to the public. And we need to be educated on, you know, really how to prepare food. The National Toxicity Program reports on carcinogens considers acrylamide to be reasonably anticipated to be a human carcinogen. All right? I have a tendency to go with these guys right here. Based on studies in laboratory animals given acrylamide in drinking water. However, toxicity studies have shown that humans and rodents not only absorb acrylamide they absorb it at different rates. They metabolize it differently as well. Now, I don't understand all that because they use rodents all the time to conduct studies. So I'm sure they don't do everything like a rat, and a rat doesn't do everything like us. But if that's the case, what are you using rodents for studies for anyway? It's only good when you want to validate something, and when you don't want to validate something, you want to go into how different they are. Studies of workplace exposure have shown high levels of occupational acrylamide exposure, which occurs through inhalation, causes neurological damage. For example, among workers using acrylamide polymers to clarify water in coral preparation plants. However, studies of occupational exposure have not suggested increased risk of cancer. Are the levels regulated? The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency regulates acrylamide in drinking water. Can't get away from it. The EPA established an acceptable level of acrylamide exposure, low enough to account for any uncertainty in data relating acrylamide to cancer and neurotoxic effects. Really? The U.S. Food and Drug Administration regulates the amount of residual acrylamide in a variety of materials that contact food, but there are currently no guidelines for governing the presence of acrylamide in food itself. What research is needed to better understand acrylamide is associated with cancer in people? Additional epidemiologic studies in which acrylamide or metabolite levels are serially measured in the same individuals over time. So they said they need more studies on that. So I'm not going to spend too much time on that. Where can we find additional information about acrylamide? For more information about acrylamide in food, contact the FDA at 1-888-SAFE-FOOD. 1-888-723-3366 or visit their acrylamide page. So there is a There's a reason they had that warning on the White Castle or black bean sandwich box that I was couldn't wait to, you know, sink my teeth into. I shouldn't have been eating it anyway, but it's got white bread on there. Anyway, there is a reason why some would like to question if acrylamide is harmful, and that is profit. So, no, seems like the science, to me, seems like the science is being challenged because of this profit issue, even though nobody's saying that. You know, it's known to California to cause cancer, but is it science in California or not? I thought science in California is the same as science in New York, same as science in Africa or China. Like, I mean, what's the toxin is a toxin. Anyway, food that needs a warning label isn't that, they say, isn't actually food, they say. That's interesting. And I mean, that's, I understand that too. Sounds like a blanket statement. But I mean, like, if you're going to buy some apples, it's just apple. It doesn't say apple. Then they got like ingredients, about six things down there, and some things you can't pronounce. So that makes sense. The World Health Organization, right? A case was made that junk food is even more damaging to public health today than tobacco. This is the World Health Organization meeting. So, and that warning label should be posted accordingly on junk food, y'all. That's all your candy, potato chip, your snacks, your unhealthy snacks. Because some people do snack on apples and, you know, but you know what I'm saying. Junk food, right? So they said that as far back as 1993, we knew that the combination of eating badly and the lack of physical activity was just behind tobacco on the list of leading causes of premature death and chronic disease in the United States. Now, that's very important. They said that our poor diet and our inactivity, no physical activity. So it sounds like we're supposed to eat well and work out. So that's, you know, an activity is as bad for you as eating poorly. And I guess it adds to the morbidity of the whole scenario here. Anyway, they're saying they should have warning labels on like things like toaster pastries, breakfast cereal. Now, I'm new, so I remember, what's that? Cap'n Crunch, man. I remember that. It was like, man, tastes like sugar. That's probably all it is. But I mean, breakfast cereal that contains marshmallows and drinks that contain a day's supply of sugar and animal flesh that has now been processed into a concoction of meat, sugar, salt, and carcinogens. So they're saying that the processing of meat, right, it's carcinogenic. So, I mean, like, they're saying all these things aren't food because after they, by the time they get finished processing that meat, not the same thing. And I guess so. If you're adding sugar and salt, if you kill a cow, you butcher a cow and eating that meat not filled with sugars and salt and whatever type of preservatives they put in the meat to preserve it or make it look preserved till it gets to on your plate in your kitchen. So I don't know. So processed foods are a health risk, but they taste so good. University Health News, 5 reasons to quit processed foods. And I probably nobody want to hear this stuff. Because I'm still trying to correct my diet, even though I don't eat a whole lot of stuff that's in here. I don't knowingly anyway eat much of it. Processed foods may raise your cancer risk, which again brings me to, I don't understand why these foods are so deadly and yet they're being allowed to be marketed to the people. It doesn't make sense. What is the FDA thinking about? What is the Trade Commission thinking about? I mean, with this information, why are these people allowed to kill people and create poor health? Anyway, they went on to say they had a study, right? It said ultra-processed foods that contain artificial colors and flavors and additives and emulsifiers are linked to an increased risk of cancer, right? Even if you don't understand what all those things are, they talk, they're basically saying that heavily processed foods are, and the things that they put in them, are linked to an increased risk of cancer, which heavily processed means have more additives in them added to the meat or the process of producing with the product. Which doesn't necessarily have to be meat, could be anything. So, again, like, why? Why are we allowing, and I'm saying we, I'm using that term loosely, but why is this allowed to happen? The link was found when the 24-hour dietary records of over 1,000 French adults were analyzed. The researchers found participants who ate 10% more processed food than their peers also had 10% increase in cancer risk. Processed foods are loaded with added sugar, sodium, and fat. And it's something about, I mean, because, man, we all have sugar. We grew up with sugar, salt in the kitchen. And I remember when they used to put fat back in food. I remember that. Like the fat from the pig or chicken or something like something. Put it in there and make the greens have some little taste to it, like, you know. I guess we need to learn how to cook without these things. But not with very little of some of them. Too much sugar, sodium, and fat in your diet can lead to serious health issues, as you probably can guess from today's subject, including obesity, heart disease, high blood pressure. That's 2 out of 10, right? Heart disease, high blood pressure, right? That's 2 out of 10. Diabetes, another 1 out of 10. And cancer, that's 1, 2. That's 4 out of 10. That's almost half of the 10 leading causes of death. So, processed foods are designed to make you overeat and become addicted to them. This is very, very important right here because, again, I'm making I'm correlating this, making a comparison to this and dope, drugs, because they both affected have an impact on the dopamine in our bodies, that pleasure center that we have that says, I like this. More gonna make you come back, but processed foods are designed to make you overeat and become addicted to them. They say studies show the reward system, right, in our brains, right, that produces dopamine, means something pleasurable happens, right, allows us to consume more of our favorite foods than our bodies actually need. You ever had something, damn, I can't get enough of these? You just eating. Like I'm saying, I eat a whole bag of chips. I like them, the big bag, not no 50-cent bag. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about bag. So, you know, processed food manufacturers, according to the medical news today, right? Know this lucrative fact, right? They know it. So they purposely include ingredients, most commonly sugar, salt, and fat, to make their product highly rewarding to us. Now, highly rewarding is the same thing as being highly addictive. So these ingredients lead us to overeat and then buy some more. Is that okay? Is that okay to do? Profit over health? Addiction over health? Is that okay? And nobody's going to jail for this? Nobody's being prosecuted for this? There's no epidemic? Nobody's declaring an epidemic? Trying to correct this? From Psychology Today, just to give you a little spill on dopamine. I gave you my spill from what I know about it. Dopamine is known as a feel-good neurotransmitter, a chemical that ferries information between the neurons. That's how your body tells what to do, how it feels, and stuff like that. How your body communicates with itself, right? All right, the brain releases dopamine when we eat food we crave or while we have sex, contributing to feelings of pleasure and satisfaction as a part of the reward system. So I don't know if you guys remember drugs and dopamine. We call drugs, another term that we use is dope. This is important. This important neurological, neurochemical boosts mood, motivation, and attention. This boosts your mood. I feel good, right? I like this. I'm motivated to get more of it. I'm motivated to eat, right? Get more of it. And attention, right? You're paying attention to the same thing with drugs. Drugs work the same way. And it helps regulate movement, learning, and emotional responses. So that sounds exactly like addiction. Like the food industry is facilitating and perpetuating food addiction. You know what I'm saying? At the expense of our health and to the benefit of profit. Now, they're not forcing this stuff down the throats of the people, but neither are the drug dealers. Drug dealers don't go around saying, hey, stick this needle in your arm. Hold your arm, pull your arm out. Stick a needle. Don't hold you down, stick a needle in your arm. They don't throw coke up your nose. They don't make you take those pills. They say if you can't pronounce most of the ingredients in a product, it probably means that it's heavily processed. Anybody have a chance? Go look at anything you bought. See what it's called and see what they says, what it says on the package, right? If it's called, just get a bag of potato chips, see what's going on with it. What's in it? You got some words up there you can't explain? Tongue twisters? It's probably heavily processed. Got a paragraph down there? It's heavily processed, right? They're saying process contains lots of artificial ingredients, right? If you're looking on the label of the box of your favorite junk food, right? There's probably a bunch of ingredients you can barely pronounce, right? If that's the case, your cookies are packed with artificial preservatives, colorants, flavorings that could be negatively affecting your health, even if it's been deemed as safe by the FDA. I'm going to repeat that. If you are looking at the side of the box of ingredients and you can barely pronounce what it says, right? If that's the case, your cookies are packed with artificial preservatives, colorants, flavorants that could be negatively affecting your health, even if it's been deemed as safe by the Food and Drug Administration. Okay, now we got a $1 trillion industry, right? And we got the Food and Drug Administration, who's supposed to protect us from anything anybody's going to put on the market from harming us. We got scientists saying this stuff is harmful, cause death, right? Causing more death than tobacco. And yet we have the Food and Drug Administration saying, hey, it's safe. And I don't know about y'all, but all this makes me think is something's wrong with this picture. Why is the Food and Drug Administration saying that these known carcinogens, known health risks are safe? Why would the Food and Drug Administration say that? Why would the FCA... The FCA, why would anybody agree to allow these things on the market? Who's looking after the interests of the public? Don't people from the FDA consume food too? I guess they're saying you don't have to. I don't know. I'm not even going to guess what they're saying, because their job is to protect the public from harm and make sure that products are safe, that on the market. But apparently these guys say this is safe, and I'm not a scientist, and you know, my little research says these things are safe. Why is the Food and Drug Administration allowing these killer foods to be sold? Anybody going to jail for this? Anybody being prosecuted for this? Some of these ingredients have been linked to an increased risk of cancer, heart disease, blood clots, and obesity. Ain't that kind of a problem we have here in the States? Processed foods are high in carbs and low in nutrients and fiber, right? Not all carbs are bad, right? But processed foods are often packed with refined carbs. So refined carbs, which can cause your blood sugar to spike too quickly, thus leading to a drop a few hours later. I mean, you up, bam, you got that big rush, right? It's like you high, it's like you shot some Monster or some heroin. Shot some Monster. What other kind of stuff they got? Speed pills, and you up, bam. But now when that wear off, you damn, right? A few hours later, you boom. You tired than you was before you took that stuff. Makes you feel even hungrier after you eat something of that nature, they say. So it just seems to me like the nature of this food, these so-called junk food, facilitates and perpetuates poor health and addiction, food addiction. Well, they say this, they're not even calling this food. They say, well, poor health and addiction to this type of food. You know, they say it's not food. The author of this, the article is saying it's not even food. On top of that, processed foods often lose their nutrients during processing, right? So synthetic nutrients are added in. Synthetic, that means it's something that your body is going to either can't or have a very difficult time trying to process. The fiber is often stripped away as well, right? You need fiber to digest your food, because your food is supposed to come in your body. Your body is supposed to take what it wants and release what it's not going to take, right? Absorb, right? Sometimes it's stored, some things is fat, right? Anyway, your body needs that to properly digest food, fiber. All right, y'all, fiber. I just want to, I'm going to keep saying this here because somebody can get something out of what I'm saying today, because it may sound like I'm crazy. It may sound like, oh, he's just being a girl about it. But I don't think so. All these deaths tell me this is not anything for anybody to take lightly. If you care about your life, you value your life, you value the life of the people you say you value, then I'm giving you some information that you could take to the bank, but I suggest you do your own research, make your own, come to your own conclusion based on what you you research and about these junk foods and foods, period, and how you cook food. And since you want, if you want to get into the whole thing, you know, fiber. Read about fiber. Look for fiber when you purchase foods. That's that your body needs it to properly digest food. Okay. Oh, we have a caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
How you doing, Carla?
What's up, brother?
This is Q.
Q.
Good evening, Rickman. I saw a documentary on, I guess, the FDA and stuff like that, and it was interesting how it got started. The person that started it was a physician, you know, and a scientist and everything, and he had considerable resistance to getting that started. I mean, if you think what they're putting in there is bad now, it was even worse at one time. And the industry, you know, the food industry and everything, they fought against this guy, you know, because they're in good with the politicians, you know, that whole thing. But
right.
Basically, it took like 20 years to get all of that establish where they're going to start monitoring what people are actually putting in their foods and stuff like that. But a thing that documentary also said was that the beginning of the escalation of the cancer and everything began with what's the word you just said? Processing of food.
Processing.
Because before everything was very raw. You know, they had all of these dairy shops, they had all these butcher shops, and everything was right there in the city. And of course, you know, the rural, the farm people, they had their fresh foods and everything like that. But once they started getting into like packaging everything and sending it across country and all that processing, they had to put these additives to preserve the food so that the food could travel across the country or out of the country and all that stuff like that. And once they started doing that, that was the beginning of the escalation of cancer.
About what time was that? Because
I do not remember
all I
the
know
name
is
of that.
Processed food. That's all I know is processed food.
Right. That was before the 1900s. That was like in the late 1800s.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Like right before the 1900s, they were saying, I believe.
Right. So for profit, because they, even, you know, because it's not a secret, because I'm reading information, it's not for me, I'm not making this up. It's not a secret that processed food is harmful, causes disease, death, but yet it's allowed to continue, which is a problem. You know what I'm saying? Nobody going after these guys. You know, the prisons ain't filled with them, right?
Right.
Nobody running down the meat trucks, busting them.
Right.
Meat factories and the salami. You know. And you know, we love that stuff. I don't eat anymore, but I don't even remember eating. We love that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you know, it's like it's. If there was ever something that we needed to be saved from, is our food. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Because we don't have to use dope, but we have to eat. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
For somebody to take that and turn it against us, I think that's cool. It's diabolical.
I agree.
You know, you're taking you know, our water, our food, and you turn it against us. And nobody's made to pay for it. Nobody's reversing it. Nothing. You know, you saying that's since the 1800s. They've been doing it. This ain't no old stuff that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend. She went on vacation somewhere. And she said, I forget where she said she went, Mexico. And they cooked her a piece of seafood or fish or something. And they said it tastes different. Basically, and the guy said, yeah, it's different because I just caught this. He said, I just got this out of the ocean just now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm killing it for you to eat. And same thing for chicken. They had chicken. I mean, it was chicken. They just say, well, I just killed him. And he on your plate now. So it tasted different. So if you don't know what fresh meat tastes like, you have no idea. You know what I'm saying? That something is peculiar about the meat that you are eating. If you don't know what these guys, which we don't know what they put in our food. Just because they put something on a box, most people don't read that. Second, when they do read it, they don't know what they're reading. Right? They don't know anything about that kind of stuff. Just like I read on the White Castle box, I saw the word, I didn't know what that was. I had to go look it up. I didn't know what I'm looking. Now, some people might say, oh, you know, I seen the word cancer. I know what that is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go look that word up. And what the? Because I was like, whoa, black bean? It didn't make no sense to me. But I don't know. It seemed like it's a common practice. And when things are like century years old, a common practice, that means it's embedded, as you said, in your government, like the FDA. That's why the FDA allow it, because they in bed with these guys. That's why the FDA would fix their mouth to say that something as deadly as junk food is safe, when the scientists are saying this stuff is deadly, more deadlier than tobacco, which we know is a toxin.
Mm-hmm.
So how is the FDA saying this is safe? And the FTC is allowing this to happen, Federal Trade Commission allowing them to work this thing. You know what I'm saying? So my theory is that the economy is based on such corruption that if we change some things, right, we eliminate the corruption, it probably would collapse anyway, but it would lead to a collapse. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know, so,
yeah.
Right. So, you know,
we got this thing about technology, progress, and all that type of stuff like that. Lots of times we do that, and we overlook the threat to our health for progress, all in the name of progress and stuff.
But is that progress? Is that progressing? To me, progress means that everything is better because of the step forward that you took. You know what I'm saying? Not I move forward, but I killed 10 billion people. You know what I'm saying? In the long run. That's not progress. That's genocide.
Right. When I'm saying progress, I'm on the phone, but I got the air quotes. You just can't see them.
Yep, so, you know.
That's what they're calling it, progress.
Right. Yeah, I think it's
doing the air quote.
Right. I think what they really mean is profit. The word they're using for progress is really profit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it seems like it's all about. It's about money talks and all that other stuff, you know, walks.
What happened, this is what I remember about the documentary. Like right now, if you look up who started the FDA, it's going to say Roosevelt. But actually, Roosevelt was against it. The scientist that he appointed to head it and all this type of stuff like that, or this guy was, like I said, he was fighting for some type of monitoring of the food system for like 20 years, 20, 25 years, something like that, right?
Right.
All of those politicians were against it. The way he was able to get them to go ahead with it, because he kept losing battles in the beginning, right? But then he noticed how he was winning favor when he had press on something. So he started including the press in it. So the press put the pressure on the politicians and the manufacturers and stuff like that to get the thing done. So when Roosevelt finally agreed to do it, of course, you know, it's like, finally I got something done. I don't even care if this idiot puts his name on it. You know, Roosevelt's putting his stamp on it. Yes, this is what I've done here because I care for the people. And, you know, no, that's not what happened. This guy in the press put the pressure on. But, if he was alive today, I think he would be still fighting to have, contesting these things that you're talking about. Because he just wasn't about this type of thing.
Right. Well. Well, it sounds like government's not neither by nor for the people. And we are being taxed, but we're not being represented in the government. Because it's no way in hell my representative would allow this kind of stuff to go on. This is common sense stuff. Is it harmful? Can't do it. No can do. Now it just seems like it's just general practice to allow certain degrees of poisons, toxins into our environment and our bodies, and they call it safe. They call it safe. Some people's definition of safe means a minute amount of a toxin in something. You understand what I'm saying? Doesn't mean that it won't hurt you. It just means that this is a small amount of this thing in here. It may hurt you and it may not. You may live to be hurt by it. You may not. It may hurt some people. I don't know. But I don't know. Maybe the chances are less, if I give you a drop of poison in your tea, it's different than me putting two tablespoons of poison in your tea, that kind of thing, you know. But how many people would really knowingly want to put something in their body? I can't even say that because people drink alcohol and smoke tobacco all the time, and they know that they're toxic. But how many people want to do that with their food, knowing that this might kill you? This hoagie, in the long run, it's going to cause you to have health problems when you get to be about 40, 50. If they don't catch you then, it'd see you at 60. You know, how many people would like, you know, we're not getting that story. We just get the whole story. You get old, as you age, you get older, your body breaks down. But this is helping your body break down even faster. All those pains we're feeling when you get up, all those ailments that we're getting. And I'm not saying this is the only thing that's affecting us, because I'm just talking about food right here today. There's other environmental toxins also that people are responsible for that should not be allowed in an environment that are allowed also. But I'm just trying to stay focused on the food thing. It just sounds like corporate America controls government. The FDA is in control. As you know, the FDA, it's a whole list of things the FDA have approved of. More recently, Xanax. That was on the market for 36 years. All of a sudden, we got to get this off the market, and it's bad. You know what I mean? This thing will kill you. Do you really think it took 36 years to figure that out? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing, you know, and, you know, I don't know, like, you know, like we got the fox mining the chicken coop. And, you know, we We don't know about government. We don't know about what these industries are doing, which we need to know what they're doing. Why do we blindly trust people we have never seen? Like, if you go outside your house right now, somebody hand you some food, you ain't going to trust them. You ain't going to trust that, right?
Right.
But we go to the supermarket every day. We go to the corner store, get that sandwich. We do all of that. We blindly trust people to feed us. And these people apparently are benefiting from our being so trusting or naive, or I don't know what we want to call it, but it's killing us. We need to be more aware. We need to be more educated. Our lack of education is killing us. You know, I mean, if you want to be, if you're educated and you know, and you let this thing happen to you, you know, but it seems like this is something we should be fighting. You know what I'm saying? 11 million a year globally. That's a lot of folks. How many people died from COVID so far?
I don't know.
Well, we got 11 million a year globally with food. That's a lot of folks. And that's not an epidemic, a pandemic. That's no kind of problem. Are we saying that? Really?
Right.
We have another call. Hold on, Q.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, 1139.
Hi, I just came across your show, and thank you for putting the information out to the masses, because most are totally unaware, and it's time now to really understand that we can truly enjoy freedoms and take back the freedoms that we're losing when we come together in peaceful ways to show our stories and our knowledge. And it's, you know, what you were talking about related to the education system that has also been compromised. I have stated that there are four big areas that are really controlling people. It's big government, big business, education, and the religions, and they're all tied in together. So you have to really look in the mirror and say, who's really controlling me, and understand that you have a creator. I'm not going to get into religion. In fact, I call out and say that most of the religions, if they're not leading into a personal heart-to-God relationship, they're just a third-party manipulator. If all the religions on the planet functioned properly, nobody would be deprived clean water, food, and proper shelter. So I stand in truth and light, and I'd be happy to share my name so you can see who I am on the internet, and all the life experiences that I've been through that are pretty bizarre. I am 76 years young as a disabled senior citizen. I'm changing the world from my dining room table. It's a choice that I'm making instead of binge-watching television shows that are all programmed to get into your consciousness too. So you'll learn to tap into your creativity instead with developing a personal heart-to-God connection.
Okay, what's your name, sir?
It's Hugh, H-U-G-H.
Mm-hmm.
The last name, Charlson, is spelled T like Tom, then R-A, U-L-S like Sam, E like Edward, N like Nancy. You can just put my name on YouTube or Google it. And after my name, if you put the words and Maya Angelou, I had the pleasure of speaking with her a few years ago on a blog talk show, and she had kind words about a poem I offered that's in the President Ronald Reagan Library that I put out as a weapon against terrorism when 9/11 happened. I also put it out as a global memorial to George Floyd and offer it to any artist, any company, any nonprofit to utilize for fundraising or to bring attention back to who they are and how they're adhering to the message that the short poem conveys. The poem is titled Caring, Sharing. It reads, if you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed.
Who wrote that?
I wrote that.
Oh, okay. You're a poet too?
Well, I don't really consider myself a poet. My mother was more than me, but I do get information that comes to me in a spiritual way, and I have some other poems on a big website that you can look over that has all kinds of documents, information, and interviews. You'll come across it when you just put my name on the internet, but I'll give you three words that if you Google it, it will bring you right to a page that will provide my background and heritage and even see letters from President Trump to me. I'm nonpartisan when it comes to politics. I was looking to support President Trump to do the right thing, but he's so into his ego that that's what he's self-destructing with right now. So after this inciting of the storming of the Capitol building, I hope that it'll never be able to hold any political office in the future. It's absolutely horrible what he had done in that regard. But I do still pray for him that before he goes back into spirit, as we all will eventually, when the material goods have absolutely no use, that we're all going to be accountable for what we did here. So that's what people should be focusing on, not just the material world. And the more you have sometimes, the harder it can be. So just be grateful for what you do have. And if you are blessed in a way where you have financial riches, if you understand the law of attraction properly by giving it back where it's needed, it'll still be coming back to you and you'll have a good life. But anyway, just Google my last name, Charlson, T-R-A-U-L-S-E-N, the second word and, and the third word Trump, T-R-U-M-P. You'll even see on that page my last name, since you're talking about food, my last name, Charlson. Refrigerators are all over the world on military installations and hotels, hospitals, schools, restaurants. Trump has them as hotels or even in the White House kitchen. I'm the firstborn child of the founder and did work for the company years ago. So I am really looking to awaken people as to what's, as you're saying, there are a lot of poisons in these foods and these politicians. Unless we start people that say that they're not interested in politics, well, that's why we're in the state we're in now, because of apathy and people not knowing what to do or how to do it. So now is the time to start coming together peacefully and force these politicians to do what they're put in office for, to represent the people, not to represent a political party. Because it doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, they're all in the pockets of special interests, and that's why nothing gets done, because it's the ones that tack on pork onto anything that's passed. The ones with the most money get the bills passed with all their pork on it.
Right. That's great.
I have a Wall Street Journal article on that big website on one of the pages with attachments from 1983 that I was written up, and that article triggered an investigation that eventually led to the resignation of Jim Wright from Speaker of the House in shame, the third highest office, the current office Nancy Pelosi holds. Also, I would love if anybody can look at the website on the page where it says Hughes Muse. I have something that has yet to be addressed by either party, and it would really help tamp down the chaos with the police and community relations and better develop respect for stopping racial disharmony.
Wow.
Yeah, I have a lot of wows.
That's a big one. That's another big one. That's one that money won't change. Because you can't
well, that's
legislate
exactly
a man's
right.
heart.
And again, I'm a white male. I'm 76 years old. Dr. Martin Luther King is deep in my heart, as well as the Kennedys. And when you're on a spiritual path, once you get well enough known, they want to stop that. So I don't have the fear. And until I take my last breath, continually reach out. Now, I do have a little bit of a problem with the Black Lives Matter telling people to take a knee. I was in contract security for many years and would have to go by the rules that tell people and stuff. I had reverse discrimination. It was pretty horrible, but I don't argue. I don't bring that up. What I say is I won't take a knee, but I'll reach out. I'll give you a hand ethically, morally, spiritually, in peace and love to help empower you in the right way. But right. If you're going to go into violence, that's just going to keep repeating history that we've had since the beginning.
Right.
And the dreams that Dr. Martin Luther King had can truly be realized, that people will just stop Facebooking and Twittering their lives away and look at the internet as the avatar for mankind's future. It's like the Wild West right now, but it can be cleaned up with technologies like blockchain, that once you do a business deal, it's on the internet forever and it can't be manipulated or changed. So I have strategies that I'm putting out that are like a Pac-Man game of transparency that will plug up the money pipelines to the elites and bring transparency back to where it has to go, to force them to change their ways and be dealt with legally. And to this day, people, it's in and out of the consciousness of people because there's so many distractions and manipulations going on. But, you know, since 2008, trillions of dollars were lost. Nobody's accountable still for that. It doesn't register with me how that could even happen.
Well, we have no control, as you said. You know, we don't have any power.
Well, we have a lot of control when we just let go and let God. And I say prayer is very powerful because there have been studies with prayer groups and in communities that had high crime rates and things like that. And that's where people should be going. And then again, looking at how they can hold the police accountable more, because if, say, it was successful in getting police off the streets, you don't know. I know, because I've had many bizarre life experiences. What kind of a world would it be if you're forcing the police into little private secure chambers where now they're patrolling the streets with drones, with cameras and lasers to just blow you to smithereens if they don't like what you're doing?
Mm.
So people don't go there with their thoughts. And the ones that are out there doing the destruction, that's where I say, too, that if you're going to, you can get a permit and protest, that's your right. But when the crowds get big, there are paid people to go in there just to change the whole dynamics of it, to create the chaos that the global elites want. So if you have a true open heart and good solutions, one way is to just quietly come into the local communities. That's where everything starts. Give respect to one another and listen to each other. Don't argue, because nobody ever wins an argument. But if you bring forth solutions that are beneficial, that can change things beautifully. And again, the internet, if you have something good, put it on the internet. It's all a matter of choices. It's two energies, negative and positive. So you don't want to go with the negative, but the positive is God energy. That's love. That's the most powerful energy there is. So you can shift your life just with knowing that and stay in gratitude and say, what can I do to be a blessing to someone else? That's actually a blessing back to you. When you keep that focal point as what you're doing with your life, you're right on track.
Yeah, I believe that too. Yes.
Right. I didn't mean to monopolize your show. I appreciate you bringing me on, because it's important that people really listen to each other and give that respect. And, you know, I it doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican. I mentioned in interviews where just the show 60 Minutes had some interesting things they bring up periodically. One was that once these congressmen and senators are elected and go to Washington, they're required by their political party to do fundraising 30 hours a week. How is that representing the people at all? That's representing the party.
The party, that's right. Well, they already show you that it's a party thing. It's a big party up on the camp, Washington Hill. They've been showing that for the last, what? Man, I don't know.
Well, you'll see from that Wall Street Journal article back in 1983, that was the SNL banking scandal, and that's where everything shifted, especially when it was exposed that Jim Wright eventually had to resign in shame because they don't want that kind of stuff to happen anymore. So we're in a stranglehold with the mainstream media, and the businesses are controlling that globally. But it can shift with the internet. There's a lot of people starting their own media companies now, left and right, that are truth-based. So you have to really think carefully about what you're hearing. Are you just hearing somebody's opinion, or is it based on fact? You got to look for the facts.
That's right. That's true.
Right.
That's right. You need to communicate, and I'm trying to communicate, and we're communicating on this show today. And facts are always appreciated, and opinions are appreciated also, because everybody needs to be heard, feel that they have a voice on this show, that call. So, you know, so everybody doesn't have facts. Some people might have questions, and that's okay to ask questions. No such thing as being stupid because you don't know anything about this. As I just said, explained in the beginning of the show, I had to look up what was on the side of a box of some food that I was about to eat that I didn't eat, because I did take the time to do the research.
Well, congratulations. And that's what you're setting an example as a way shower, and that's what people need to hear. And when I say the opinions, yeah, you can hear somebody's opinion, but then look at it again where it has to become factual, because if somebody is telling you a lie, how can you let that be, accept that? Because one lie has to cover up another lie eventually, and the truth will eventually come to the surface. So use your discernment when you're hearing somebody's opinion, and go back and do what you did. Do the research through reading or listening to wherever you can get documentable facts is what is the best thing, because that's what the courts use.
Right. And, you know, I encourage everyone, don't take my word for it. Do your own research.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I go into a lot of fringe areas because of my life experiences. I've had UFO, paranormal, near death with very bizarre synchronicities that are very powerful. So it truly awakens people, but a lot of people go into fear. I don't have the fear. I've said it in radio shows, too, that these global elites that are trying to control everything, and they have the, I don't know if you're familiar with Agenda 21, some of this might be, okay, that's what I think the COVID-19 is a big part of, to depopulate the planet, right?
Right,
So I said, what a great job they did figuring all that out themselves. The biggest mistake they made was get the hell off the planet, leave the rest of us alone to figure things out. Because you will be accountable, even if you're an ET 10,000 years old, you're going to go back into spirit and face your creator just like me someday.
And we all got an expiration date.
Yeah, and you never know when that is.
That's right.
So you can get... I don't want the COVID-19 shot myself. I'm in the veteran's healthcare system. They called me today to see if they could want to schedule me for it. I said, you know, I had a near-death experience in 2007. I came into the veterans healthcare system in 2008. And when I first saw the pulmonologist at the hospital, he took one look at me and said, you're going to be dead in 6 months. I said, nice bedside manner you have, doc. I have very severe COPD, which actually Maya Angelou passed from too. So, there's things that I can't document it. Again, I stress documents, but there's all kinds of conspiracies out there. I don't go down the million rabbit holes that there are. I look for solutions instead, but there is something that bothers me related to this COVID-19 and the injections. I don't know if you're familiar or have heard of nanobots.
Nanobots. Oh, that's the, Mike, the, almost at the, they said they can inject
that. Yeah, you can put hundreds
you.
Of thousands of them on the pin of a needle, and they can put that into the injection, and then it will affect your DNA, and then you could be somebody else's robot eventually.
Right. I heard about that. Yeah. Right. You know, I'm gonna revisit this whole vaccine thing, and I've covered it once, a couple of times this COVID thing, you know, but you know, to me, like that's another one of those situations where nobody's being paying attention to. How did this start?
Exactly.
You know, like, yo, we just forgot about that.
I can just give this to you, and then and I'll let you close out the show for running late. But I want to go back to 9/11. Mm-hmm. And before 9/11 happened, I came across a news item related to the SEC people that are supposed to be monitoring what's going on in Wall Street. And a lot of them were watching pornography on their computers all day. So they caught them, and they said they were going to discipline them, but they never identified them and never said how they were going to discipline them. So in my mind, they took them off the computers, and this is when the TSA started, Homeland Security. So they put them all in the airports and now let them peel up people for their jollies.
Mm.
And the other thing I wanted to say, too, is if you can really think about it, all of a sudden, globally, they have all these X-ray machines in the airports that magically appeared almost overnight. Well, those are pretty sophisticated machines. How did they all get there so fast?
Right.
So when they're laughing at you as you put on the mask and use your hand lotion and stuff, they're already making tons of money on the stocks that they knew that you'd have to have this stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So if we follow the money trails back and see who's who, especially these congressmen and senators, there's no need for lobbyists in Washington. If they're any good, they can do their own thing with their own policing their own organizations. If there's problems, then that's what the government is there for, come in and clean it up. But to be putting, I mean, I heard something that was so horrible, even related to the NRA, and, you know, I give everybody the right to bear arms. I don't choose to have one at this point in my life, but if I wanted one, it's my right. But when the shooting in Parkland happened, a young high schooler asked Marco Rubio, he said, are you going to continue to accept money from the NRA? And Marco Rubio didn't even give a direct answer to the young person asking the question. He simply said, people vote for me on my agenda. Oh, is that right? I thought you were supposed to be representing my interest, or at least the majority of interest of the people putting you into office, but we're just voting for whatever is your agenda? I'm sorry. You don't have my vote anymore.
Okay. All right, we're running out of time.
All right, thank you so much for having me. Check it out, share it, get it all over the place, and we'll see what we can do to just get this country back on track the way it was meant to be.
All right, thanks for calling in, Hugh. Q.
Take care.
That rhymes. All right, brother. I want to thank all my listeners. I want to thank We Talk Productions, Ball Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones, Black Urban America, Tuesdays, 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. And I want to say to everybody, each one reach one, each one teach one. Do your own research, y'all. Don't be afraid. Until next week, peace.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run.